We're in the midst of the most difficult of times. An invisible threat has changed our world and called upon us all to dig deep to find determination, strength, and courage.
This threat may not have reduced our cities to rubble or laid waste to our infrastructure, but everybody, everywhere on this planet is feeling its shockwaves.
There are no weddings, no family gathering.
There is no socializing in pubs, bars, or restaurants.
It has closed our schools and prevented exams.
It has shut our shops and cancelled our holidays.
It has halted our team sports.
And wiped out our running races.
It has stopped our tournaments and matches.
And it has postponed the greatest show on earth in Tokyo.
But we're a tough bunch of humans. We will get through this.
We will stay fit, we will stay healthy in mind and body.
The power of sport and exercise to benefit and contribute to society has never been more clear and more potent.
From our homes, we continue to inspire each other and demonstrate that we're all equal.
We are all in exactly the same position and we are all here to help each other get through this.
And make no mistake, we will get through this. We will support you. We will be your team.
We will win, and we will win together.
I'm Natalie Morris, and this is The Netball Show with Mizuno. Natalie Seaton has recently stepped down as CEO of London Pulse. In a special extended interview, she tells The Netball Show about her decision and looks back on some of the landmarks over the last 7 years.
It's never an easy decision to sell shares and to step down in your role because, you know, Pulse for me was really the epitome of achieving excellence of netball in an area that I love, which is London. And we very much were striving towards that. And I think we kind of saw at the beginning of this season that we really were getting to that goal and it became a really achievable feat. It's been a big part of my identity, big part of my life for the last 7 years. And I absolutely have loved every second and every step of it, even the bad bits. But sometimes you kind of get to crossroads and you've got to make these difficult decisions and you've got to think about where you need to be in the short, medium and long term, and everything sort of pointed in the same sort of direction, hence why I took the decision I did take. But it's very much a big part of my life, and hopefully like a child I can sort of watch it go on and flourish and be something really fantastic in the future.
For me, this is something that I've always done, and having to step aside would be very, very difficult. Was for you maybe the same kind of feelings?
Yeah, I think it's always difficult when you've got to make a difficult choice. But my life is not one-dimensional. As much as I love my netball, I've got family life, I've got friends, and I've got other things that I've potentially been neglecting, I would say, for the last few years. And I'm passing it on in a really good condition. And I think that when you create a platform and opportunities for something to be really successful, you can kind of be really confident of all the foundations that you've laid. And my role in the team will never go away. You're only going to have one founder. So I think what I can take from it is that it's been a brilliant journey. It's been absolutely amazing. It will forever be a part of me and part of my life's journey. But there's new things and new challenges and exciting things that I'm looking forward to. So, it's difficult, but at the same time, I'm really excited about what the future holds for me.
In the very early days, you told me in the past that it was about having that initial thought, just getting the franchise up and running. By goodness, you did that.
Yeah, I'm quite casual about things.
Do you mind me saying that?
No, of course not. I think I'm quite a matter-of-fact kind of person. So when I kind of set my mind to it, I'm like, yep, we're going to do that. And I make it sound really seamless and really easy. And I think that's more about me and my coping mechanisms, about how I deal with massive tasks. And to single-handedly do a lot of things, it's been tough. It has been. And I definitely go with it towards most problems with a can-do attitude, and that's how we've got to where we are today. And not many people could say they've created a franchise and as walking away with it and not even hit their 40th birthday. So I'm doing pretty good, but I think definitely the backbone to the team has always been some of the critical people that have helped us along that journey. and being absolutely fundamental to the growth of the brand and the team, and have committed themselves to it. And I'm going to be forever indebted to those key individuals that, one, believed in my vision, believed in what I thought was going to be something really special. And they went on that journey with me. And I think that's something really special that I'm going to take away from Pulse, is that I've had some amazing people work with me on creating this amazing project. And whilst, you know, I will go down as the founder and the person that created London Pulse, they too played a massive role into what the franchise is today. So I'm, you know, forever indebted to those people, and also the fans that sort of kind of embraced Pulse and were really excited to come on that journey with us as well. It's been a massive, big effort. And whilst I'm sort of the forefront of it, it's been a massive team effort.
And even before the awarding of the Super League franchise as well, just the strides you made in the MPL.
Oh, God, yeah. Look, when we first started, I think I had a call with Amanda. I was like, oh, by the way, I think we're going to get this team. Can I ask for it? And I'm that person that asks for really unusual things. And I've got to thank her, because she was the first person that was like, yep, I'm in. And what a job she did. And she's so passionate about netball and sport in London and creating equal opportunities, and she lives, breathes and is pretty much everything that's great about London Pulse. And you know, we first season we narrowly missed out on, I think, medals in the regular season, but then we came third in the MPL tournament, and then next year we went on and won it. You know, not many teams are in a league for a couple of years, or two, let's just be clear, yeah, and win stuff. And that was just us setting the tone about what we were about and what we really believed in. And I think that value system, that ethos, that work hard, play hard attitude is not just, was not just instilled in me, it was everyone believed it, everyone bought in, everyone was committed to that goal. And you know, once you see that in motion, it's you can't stop it. So for me, it's been amazing. We achieved so much. We've won titles for 21s, under 19s. I kind of joked with the team last week that, you know, whilst I'm going, I'm still expecting to see some silverware. So yeah. There's quite a job to be done. And look, the team is going to be fantastic. London's got so much talent. It's so exciting. And like, look, I look forward to be able to watch it on the TV when I can't get to away matches, and seeing it when it's at the Copper Box, and really enjoy being a fan of what a great team it's going to be, and is already.
I remember speaking to you on the award of the franchise. I listened back to it this morning. I can't believe that I teased Sophie Hankin as joining. Thank goodness she's at Storm now. But if we look at the side, obviously the players from the MPL, and the fact that you managed to attract this season the people like Lindsay and Ziggy and Draney, that was important.
Absolutely. I think in year two was a really good opportunity for us to stabilize the boat, as it were. We know when we got the team in July, it pretty much came out of nowhere, as you probably remember. And in terms of starting a team, one, from scratch, there was nothing. There's no office, there's no brand, there's nothing. So you start the team from scratch. And then two, being able to vie for players when a lot of players had already committed, and rightfully so, that there was not a London option on the table at the point they were negotiating. It made us be really inventive in terms of how we approached the player acquisition, and also have a look at what we had within our youngsters, and they were very young, in our youngsters' ranks, in terms of what they could help support the development on. So I think the first year was always going to be challenging, but the team were great. They committed, they bought in. It was challenging at times, but they definitely left everything on the court. So when we came to year two, we were in a different position. You know, people knew who we were. People were able to, one, think about what their work, home life and playing life would look like, who they wanted to be coached by, where they wanted to reside, what their aspirations were. And I think when you're trying to sell, you know, a goal of actually we believe we're going to be one of the best teams in the country, we want players that are going to buy in, work hard and train and really give us everything, it was then an easier conversation to attract players of the likes of Ziggy. And of course, the players that we got from other teams as well. So those key players really came in and bought in to our value systems. And that alongside our youth that have been with us since day one, so the likes of Kia Rothwell, Olivia Tashin, and Fumi, who's been with us since we started.
Yeah.
That's a really exciting blend of talent and experience, and that's what we always wanted to show, and that will only get stronger and stronger as the, you know, the more we achieve on the court, the more attractive you become. And at the same time, you know, hopefully I said this a few years back, but we definitely believe that we could create our own players as well. We believed in our junior pathway. We believed that we had something really special. And ultimately the goal would be that the majority of the squad would come through our junior ranks, but that would always take time. So I think on every level, we've every year really tried hard to look at where we are, how can we be better, and also have belief that what we are doing would always end up in getting the right results on the court. And, you know, the start of the season was brilliant. You know, 3 wins, it was brilliant, it was great, it was exciting. And, you know, whilst other people might have been surprised, we had that confidence that we could do that. So I think the team's in a great place to kind of push on. And, you know, that player acquisition was fundamental to that, but also retaining those key players from the youth system, that was also important in terms of our success.
Obviously, Rhinos, as and when we get back up and running, we join in the league. Have you been monitoring their kind of progress in joining the leagues?
I think, if I'm being honest, we've been very self-focused for a while. However, I think in terms of what they've done there, it's been great for them to have the knowledge that they were going into the league with a sort of a year, sort of 15 yeah, months really. Notice. And one of the things I fed back, that it was really important that the lead time was given to clubs to really get a chance to kind of get everything in place. And I think Anna Carter is doing a brilliant job from what I can see. You know, I'm not part of the team, but I can see that, you know, brilliant job in terms of getting Dan Ryan in as the head coach and really getting that infrastructure in place in terms of their junior pathway, and also potentially having the opportunity to look at players whilst the season's going on. So I think that absolutely it's going to change the league next season when that starts. I'm not sure when that's going to be. And there's the positive will be that you will have more clubs and more opportunities for players further north to play at the highest level, which is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I think, you know, we want to get to the stage where we have a number of clubs all across the country, but ultimately the underlying foundation of that is that they need to be competitive. And I think having that time out to really assess what their strategy is going to be will ensure that they get a really good roster of players that will be competitive, so when they do come into the league they will have a really good fighting chance. And I wish them the best of luck. I know that they really worked hard towards that.
That new board of directors at Pulse have announced Sam as interim CEO. How is she bought into that vision?
I think we can probably look into what she's done as a director of netball in terms of her, that sort of testimony of how she's brought into what we had already. And I think, you know, Sam will have her own ideas about how she would like to kind of push the franchise forward in that interim period. And that's very much her own. But ultimately, you know, we were a successful junior team and we had that legacy from that. And we have a lot of personnel that we've retained. So one would suspect that what she will be looking to do is to look at what we've done really well in the past and where there's areas of improvement, to really focus in on that. But ultimately it's a London team that you want to harness the excitement, the exciting play of the multicultural nature that London is, really try to refine and further cement the relationships we have with our key partners and sponsors. And, you know, it's not a case of you're going to tear up the book and start from scratch. You know, what we've got is really good. And I think what she'd be looking to do is to harness that and to further improve it and make it even better.
We talked earlier and you've put about 7 years into this project. What's next? A bit of a holiday. Although you'll have fingers in many pies, you've got to.
Yeah, I think, look, for me, in the immediate future, it's a break. I think I need it. And I am looking forward to just having some time out to really rebalance and really focus in on the things that are important to me, which is really exciting. I don't think I've ever done that before in the most recent history. So I'm looking forward to that time. And there are projects that I am working on. You know me very well, Andy. So there's projects I am working on behind the scenes, which will probably take shape in the probably not too distant future, but obviously we've got COVID right now, so I'm conscientious that that will have an impact on most timescales for most projects that people are involved with. But once that's done, I'm sure one of them is netball related, so I'm sure I'll tell you all about it at that point.
And I think the first one is a booking over the next couple of weeks for a small podcast called the Surrey Storm Podcast. Don't know if you've heard of it.
Definitely. Look, you can't forget where you've come from, you know, your roots, and also, you know, people that have helped you along your journey. And like, maybe you've created opportunities or shown you a different way of thinking. And Surrey Storm was definitely a big part of my playing identity, and also a little bit about how I, you know, when you look to create something new, I'm not arrogant enough to think I'm going to strike out, you know, everything that's gone before me and just completely start and reinvent the wheel. No, you look at what you know and the environments you've been in and what you really enjoyed, what you didn't enjoy so much. And for me, I've got very fond memories of Surrey Storm and being part of that and working with amazing players, great coaches. So we're absolutely delighted to be part of the podcast.
I'm allowed cross promotion because both of them are mine. This week we've got Steph Bellow on. Subscribe now. No, but that's great. Natalie, thank you again for your time and best of luck for future.
Thank you so much for your support. Really do appreciate it over the last few years.
Now, you're not going to want to miss our Cat Tivati podcast. It's online at the moment, so just search for us on Twitter or at our website and you can find it there. We really appreciate your messages of support and thank you so much for listening and sticking with us during this uncertain time. Also, make sure you're following us on Twitter to find out exactly what we've got up our sleeves for next week. You can find us online at The Netball Show.
I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
I'm under no illusion that being assistant coach and player at the same time is going to be challenging. When I look forward to meeting the challenge head on and doing my best within both roles.
1 minute I've got tears coming down my face and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. And it was like Monster had taken over me and it was pure elation.
A huge thank you to The Netball Show. You really have helped us at England Netball take our message to new audiences.